people of the Lord said amen. Amen. What a good word in song for us this morning. I am thankful that when we could not come to Christ, Christ came to us. When we would not come to Christ, Christ came to us. That is so true. When I was first learning of the doctrine of depravity, I understood I could not come to Christ, but there was also this idea that was foreign to me that I would not come to Christ. I was raised with the attitude or the mindset that I wasn't as bad as I could be, and which is, there's a lot of truth in that, but the wonderful truth is when we realize that Christ has not only come for us because we couldn't come to Him, but that in our own volitional will, we would not come to Him. We would not choose to come to the Lord, and yet He pursued us when we were unlovable, and He wooed us by His amazing grace. And how grateful to God we should be for His amazing grace. Grab your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis, and I want to encourage you to find chapter 41, and we're going to begin reading in verse 37, and then we're going to pick up again in verse 46, and we're going to continue in this series, Value-Driven Leadership, and what that is all about, and how God wants to use us and the influence that He's entrusted to us to not only advance His kingdom, but to advance the gospel and to help people along the way. Last week, we started looking at the life of Joseph, and what I intended to get all the way through, we only got about halfway through, but we'll catch you up real quick this morning, and we're going to read this scripture again, and then we're going to look at this very idea of the stewardship of leadership, this sacred trust that God gives to us as He entrusts to us influence, and as He gives to us influence. And we're going to talk about how the Lord uses you all to influence others, some in great ways and some in lesser ways, but how He is giving you the ability to lead and how He wants to grow you in that ability. Some of you may be here today and say, well, Pastor, not everybody's cut out for leadership. No, maybe not in the way that the world looks at leadership, maybe the way that business looks at leadership, but we all are stewards of this influence that God gives us. And I would say to you that the stewardship of influence is really the biblical view of real leadership, right? It's the kind of leadership that can't be bought out, that won't compromise. It's the kind of leadership that stays to true north, to the Word of God, to His purpose in our lives. And that type of godly influence is just immeasurable, and God uses it in such an unbelievable way to sustain not only community, but culture and civilization. And so let's begin reading in verse 37 as we did last week, and then we're going to go down and pick up in verse 46 as well. This proposal pleased Pharaoh. What proposal was that? That Pharaoh had some terrible nightmares, and Joseph comes, he interprets those dreams for Pharaoh. And in those dreams, the Lord gives Joseph the wisdom to how he should address this coming famine that was really prophesied about in Pharaoh's dream. And so as Joseph is sharing the interpretation of that dream with Pharaoh, it is this proposal that pleased Pharaoh and all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Last week, we talked about how important that was and how God used Joseph in an incredible way. He used him as a steward of His own presence and how important that was. And then he goes on in verse 38 or 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all of this, there is none so discerning and as wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all of my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." And then look down with me at verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly. And he gathered up all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, and he put the food in the cities. He put it in every city, the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it. for it could not be measured. And then we're going to see down in verse 53, the 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, there was a famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph, what he says to you, do." So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the land. Talking about this idea of stewardship and how God positioned Joseph to be a steward, not only in his kingdom, but particularly here on earth. We talked about the idea of what is a steward and where does that word come from. And we understand that Scripture says that a steward is someone who has been entrusted with a responsibility. They are a manager, if you will. They are acting on behalf of either the emperor or the pharaoh or on behalf of the authority. We realize that the steward is one who manages and leads that which is not his own, and he leads knowing that he'll give an account to the ultimate owner of all things, which is the Lord, as owner and ruler of it all. Joseph learned this lesson that leadership develops daily, but not in a day. I want you to think about that. As God's positioning Joseph, he's doing that over Joseph's life. The reason that we come down and pick up there in verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old. Well, it's multiple years, many years before that, that Joseph is sold into slavery, and he's forgotten by his brothers. And so for years, God is developing the very character of Joseph, positioning him to be this great leader and this great steward of the Lord. If you're here today, listen to me. I want to give you a good word. If you're clued in today and you're listening, will you raise your hand high? I want to give you a good word. If you are seeking a position without the integrity or the character to properly support you in that position, I want you to know that's not what God has for you. God's not interested in your position. He's interested in your influence. He's interested in your character and your integrity and what he's doing in you more than what he'll do through you. And so just as Joseph learned that tremendous lesson that leadership develops daily, every day, over a long period of time, but it never develops in just a single day, it's really important that we have that understanding when we come to the subject of leadership and the stewardship of leadership. Because here's what will happen. Listen to me. You will get to that point where you think you know everything there is to know about your particular subject or your particular area of influence. And consequently then, as a husband or a wife, as a parent, as a student or a child, as a coworker, as someone who has some amount of influence over something, some kind of leadership, what will happen is you will unintentionally cap yourself. And you'll say, you know what, I've learned all I can possibly learn about that subject. And so what you do is you're ceasing God's intimate work of grace and beauty and mercy at work in your own heart and life. And man, that is when leadership becomes so tainted. That's when our own influence begins to wane because we have ceased putting ourselves in that attitude of sitting at the master's feet so he can develop us and use us as people who will influence others. As stewards of the incredible influence and leadership that God has positioned us with concerning family and community and peers and in our workplaces, in the marketplace, in the church, and in the world, it is imperative that you and I understand the importance of this stewardship and that we grow as godly leaders. We understand that leadership development is a process. And so you should find yourself somewhere, right, in this process. There's a leadership model that just simply says this, that we all come to a place where I don't know what I don't know. That in our area of influence and our area of leadership, that we all begin in this place of where we just don't know what we don't know. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not that you know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. And so in that vein, we all come to that table saying, you know what? There is one over us that knows more than me. He knows what he wants to do in me. He knows what he's wanting to work in my life. And then we grow and we mature in that, and we understand the consequences of decisions and influence, and we try to influence that entire process. We just know that we have to grow. And then we come to that stage, and some of us are there today, that I know what I don't know. God in His grace begins to show us and reveal to us, wait a minute, here's where you are, and here's things that you need to know that you just don't know. And so I can remember how clearly that went off in my life, right? So I'm a young guy called into ministry. The Lord had put His good hand on a new church plant there in Edmonton. The thing grew and blew up, and student ministry was going great. I was telling Jacob the other day about, and we had over 100 teenagers one night going out to celebrate harvest and going out to farms, doing all sorts of crazy things and sharing the gospel. And we reenacted the demon possession of a man, and then we had a guy come in and reenact Jesus. I didn't realize all of that stuff, and there was probably some manipulation back then going on, but we had a big crowd. It captivated the students' attention, and then the Word of God came, and students were just getting saved. And it wasn't long after that that people started saying, you need to go into a senior pastor, you need to leave student pastor. And that was just such a foreign concept for me. People were hinting at the fact that you serve on church staff as a stepping stone to go somewhere else. And I just think, I've tried to encourage my folks, if God's calling you to senior leadership, you need to go. You need to do that. We need to get you in a succession plan here. Whatever the issue is, we need to prepare you for that. But if you're doing something else, serving the Lord, that is just as valuable as what I'm doing. Don't let the enemy say to you, well, if I'm an usher up here driving the cart on a cold Sunday morning, that's good, but it's just not hardly as important as what the pastor does. Or if I'm running sound or video back here, that is important, and everybody knows when I mess up, but it's not quite as important as what the pastor does. Listen to me. The whole body functioning and working together is equally important. If you understand that this morning, say amen. And so this idea that God brings us to a place of us coming to a point where we begin to understand, oh, wait a minute. I'm beginning to realize what I don't know. And that so clearly happened to me. I'm at Siloam. I've been preaching about a year and a half or 2 years. And I'm beginning to think to myself, wait a minute. There's a lot about God and God's Word that I just don't understand. And I'm preaching on Sunday mornings. I'm teaching something on Wednesday nights. We're teaching on Sunday nights. And I'm just absolutely to the point of depletion. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I have to go learn more of God. I've got to learn more of God's Word. I need to be thoroughly trained. It was at that time the light came off, Ricky, in my mind, and the Lord began to show me, wait a minute, I want to give you a glimpse of what you don't know. And then how my heart was encouraged when God began to do that. This is that point when we come to understand the huge weight and responsibility that leadership, that the influence of leadership carries with that. Listen to me, parents. I don't know if there's a greater leadership position anywhere, than what you're doing with your kids. It's not an issue of whether you get paid for it or whether you don't. It's not an issue of who recognizes and who doesn't. It's an issue of how you're going to make an investment and a difference in someone's life. So we get to that point where God, in His good grace, begins to let us know what we don't know. And then we begin to know and grow, and you know what? It's very evident to other people. And so if you're at this place, I want to say to you, leadership is a call to prepare. And whatever area of service you find yourself serving the Lord, you should prepare with all of your might. You should learn about it. You should read. We, Brian and I, have been praying about and thinking about how we can best minister to special needs students and families that have that going on in their life. And from that, we've started to have conversation with our personnel team about that. And so this is an area I don't know a lot about. And so I'm buying books about that, and I'm beginning to read about that. And I plan on going to conference about that to learn how can we best minister to families who have special need children, who have a diagnosis. And because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is for everyone. If you believe that, say amen. Amen, right? And so someone that God has created in a different way to be a huge blessing to us all and to help us in our own leadership and influence, those folks are just mightily, mightily important. And so sometimes God positions us in that stage of our leadership development where, you know what, I just need to grow and I'm beginning to prepare, and I want to prepare through education, I want to prepare through experience, and I want to prepare for trial. Some of you here, you're thinking, you know, I've been thinking about teaching Sunday school. You need to come and let Brian and I help you with that, get you equipped to do that, put the resources in your hand, and then in fear and timidity, you need to go into that Sunday school class starting in July and start teaching that class, and you're going to be amazed at the faithfulness of God if he's called you to that task to grow you and use you and encourage you, and you're going to learn through trial experience and by being equipped. And then God leads us to this place where we just simply go because what we know is God's called us to use our leadership gifts, this influence, and he's called us to be good stewards of his grace. So we just simply go and we just simply serve. We just simply use our influence. We just simply lead because we know God wants us to do that. And that's the obedient thing to do. How many of you have sometimes you've ran out of strength, you've ran out of stamina, you've ran out of energy in leadership? You've just made hard decisions during the week or during the month or during the year, and you just think, Lord Jesus, I do not want to make one more tough decision. Is there anybody like that in the house? Will you raise your hand? You just get that way, right? If the Lord gives you influence, you know what I'm talking about, because you just think, holy cow, I don't know if I can do that one more time. But I want you to understand that it's in that blessed time that we know what God's doing. We see how he's wanting to work. We see how he's receiving glory. And you know what we do? We just do what we do in obedience to God. And we leave the results to the Lord. I used to, man, be thinking about this. Some of you guys who have been in a pastorate ministry, you've ever preached a sermon. I used to think about, man, nobody came and prayed today. Or I used to think, man, nobody said, man, that word was good. It really convicted me. And what I began to realize was that when I would think that way, I would set myself up for when people would leave the back door. And if they said something critical like, man, I wanted you to give me something good today, preacher, but I didn't want you to give me the whole wagon load today. And then it was like, you know, you preach forever, preacher. That's what they're saying, all right? And so here's what I began to understand about that. Listen to this closely. If you're open to the praises of people and your influence is empowered by the praise that you receive for that, you are setting yourself up for the devil's criticism. Watch this. Your leadership should grow and your influence should grow to the point to where you get to that place where you're saying, I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm called by the Lord. He's asked me to do this. He's entrusted this, whatever this is, he's entrusted this to me, and I need to do it out of sheer obedience to him for his namesake and glory. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, freeing thing when God works that way in your life. And so God providentially positions Joseph as this great leader. Last week, we talked about how Joseph is a steward of God's presence, how Joseph is this tremendous steward of God's wisdom, and how God was using Joseph to help people to think in a Godward way, in a godly way, how God used Joseph's wisdom and gave Joseph wisdom to not only be able to interpret the dream, but to make application for that in Pharaoh's life. We realize that's what we help people do, that we're stewards of God's wisdom. We help people understand, here's what God's plan is for us as a people. Here's what God's plan is for us as an individual. And then we talked about how Joseph was a steward of God's established king, Pharaoh, and how he positions Joseph to ultimately minister to Pharaoh and to minister to all of Pharaoh's cabinet, right? This is Joseph influencing the Egyptian leaders who are going to in turn influence others. This is when your stewardship of influence and leadership begins to multiply. Is that going on in your life? Listen to me. Are you at a point where you're influencing leaders who are turning around and instructing or leading others? We see God positioning Joseph in that way. Listen. When God encourages you and gives you a good word and wants you to instill that word in someone, you know that your responsibility is to share it, teach it, pass it off. But then listen, don't let that person take a step back and say, I know that's the obligation. I know that's what God's calling me to. But man, I don't know if I want to use my influence in that way. Watch this, folks. The influence that God has given you is not an influence for you to just go through this world skippity-doo-dah, zippity-day, right? We're just not skipping along to just enjoy life for our own purpose, but we are to enjoy life for God's grand glory and God's grand purpose. And so we see how he is this wonderful steward of Pharaoh. And then in verse 41, I want you to draw your attention right here and listen to this verse. Read it along with me. We see beginning today how Joseph is a steward of God's earthly kingdom. He's not only a steward of Pharaoh, that God positions Joseph in that way, but he becomes a steward of God's earthly kingdom. He says in verse 41, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Second to only Pharaoh himself, Joseph becomes the appointed governor of all of Egypt. I want you to imagine how amazing this is. This is Joseph who years later is having dreams about how God's going to use him to lead his mom, to lead his dad, to lead his brothers. He doesn't have enough sense. He did not realize. He didn't know what he didn't know. And so Joseph back then begins to tell his dad and his mom all that, right, the Lord's going to do in him. He begins to tell his brothers. His brothers get jealous. And Joseph is come a long, long way from his brother's hostility, their scheme to sell him into slavery, ultimately, first and foremost, to kill him and then sell him into slavery. And so we see that God's positioning Joseph over the years to this place where he's going to use him as this manager of his own earthly kingdom. You say, preacher, is this just a story? I want you to listen to this. There's a historical document from the tomb of Rechmyer in the late Bronze Age that tells of Joseph's responsibilities as governors. So we have an ancient historical document that's verifying this text, not as if the text needs it, just so you can be encouraged. And I want you to listen precisely of what this document says Joseph's responsibility was. It said, Joseph is the grand steward, manager of all of Egypt. And all activities of government are under his control. I want you to think of that, man. Here's this Hebrew kid who's at odds with his family. And the next thing you know, God's positioning him in his earthly kingdom under Pharaoh in Egypt to lead this entire country and in a greater way, lead in God's earthly kingdom. We see the Lord positions and uses Pharaoh to equip Joseph for the task. Listen to me, he's not a mere figurehead leader. Do you know how many times I have conversations with people who are figurehead leaders? And they just say like this, I'm called to do something, I'm really not enjoying it. People are dragged to lead. It's just like I'm fighting fire all the time. Anybody in leadership, you know what I'm talking about? And you're just thinking to yourself, man, it's really difficult to lead in this particular area. And the truth of the matter is this, what they're saying is, I am a person who has a position, but I am a person that doesn't carry any influence. I want you to use that influence for the glory of the Lord. Look what the Lord does in Joseph's life. He's given Pharaoh's signet ring, an official seal, especially designed for Pharaoh. He's given proper attire, an official dress. He's given royal transportation. He's given an Egyptian name. He's given an Egyptian wife. Joseph, in every conceivable way, is welcomed into the royalty of Egypt. And this is not Joseph climbing the corporate ladder in Egypt. This is Joseph waiting and responding to the good grace of the Lord. This is Joseph, listen, positioned by the Lord to have great influence in his kingdom. I really want to speak good truth. If you're ready for good truth, say amen. Listen to this. If you're here seeking ministry position, ministry authority, some kind of influence and leadership in a secular vein, and you're doing it for the sake of income, or you're doing it for the sake of position and how it will look to others or in the community, you have the incredibly wrong idea of what real leadership is. Leadership is a lonely place. And leaders, listen to this, Godly leaders are called to live the crucified life of Christ every day. No days off. Every day God calls us to die to self. He calls us to die to wants and desires. He calls us to be able to love people, encourage people, challenge people. And so I want you to understand, if you're out looking how you can position yourself in some sort of leadership position, you need to back up and you need to get on your knees before the Lord and you need to say, God, I want to use my stewardship right now just to minister to you. Somebody tell me who's an Old Testament character who was just like that, right? David. David, when you got David's dad, Jesse, parading all of his brothers before the prophet to position them to see if they're going to be the next king of Israel, David's got no concern about that. He's back there being faithful in the little things, doing what God's called him to do. And watch what God does. God raises him up and he puts him in a place of tremendous influence. Wait a minute, preacher, are you saying to me that I ought not be seeking to climb the ladder? I'm saying that if God positions you in that way, you should be a great steward of it. But your relationship and your connection with the Lord is more important than what people think of you or the monetary value that comes with that. Somebody ought to say amen. You see that God's supernaturally and providentially, he's orchestrating this in Joseph's life. He's equipped him for this task, and he's not just a figurehead. Joseph, as a servant of the Lord, now becomes steward, watch this, over a secular culture that God wanted him to influence in a godly way. Do you hear that? He has now become the chief influencer over a secular culture that God wanted him to influence in a godly way. This is one Old Testament proof text that would show you that God does not want his Christian kingdom and community to retreat and to isolate itself. As the world grows increasingly hostile to Christ and his church, we are not running from that, and we are not retreating from that. As America continues to become less and less biblical, we don't run and retreat, and we don't hide from that. See, here's the deal. God calls us to love our enemies and those who would persecute us. God calls us to engage darkness with light. God calls us to be salt and light to a dark place that actually needs preservation. That's what God calls us to do. So if you're tempted to say, man, this world is just getting worse and worse, and I'm going to get my family and we're going to huddle up over here, I want you to understand, God wants you to get out of that perceived holy huddle, and he wants to use you out there in the kingdom, and he wants to use you right out there in the kingdom of darkness. Wait a minute, preacher, if I get out there in the kingdom of darkness, won't I become dark? Preacher, if I get out there in the pit, won't I get dirty? You don't have to get dark and you don't have to get dirty. You can go out there and be in the world, but not of the world. If you understand that, say amen. Oh, how important it is that we understand that God is using his servant and his influence to incredibly shape and mold the secular culture and to lift up a real Godward view in that time and age. Do you hear the Lord leading you to become a leader in and over the culture and society that is increasingly hostile? Do you hear that? You see how important it is for us to use our influence and witness for the cause of Christ. And this is a great place for me to just stop and say, there is a lot of junk going on in this world today. And there are a lot of traps that are being laid for Christians. And here is what I want you to understand God's wanting you to do. God in these days is not wanting you to identify necessarily with a political party, or a president current, or a president past, or a president to come. He's not so much wanting you to identify with whether you're for a bill or against a bill. God's wanting you to identify your allegiance to Christ and to understand that when you stand for Christ, you may be standing right between two political opinions, two economic opinions. You may be standing there seemingly by yourself between two factions that are ready to go to war. And listen to me, the wise Christian says, I will stand with Christ. He's the cornerstone. And I may have wonderful influence and truth to speak to this group, and I may have wonderful truth and influence to speak to this group, but all truth is God's, and I'm standing with the Lord. If you understand that, say amen. Don't fall prey to the trap. Some people ask me all the time, where am I standing with this NFL deal? Where am I standing with this? Where am I standing with that? Listen to me. No political party, president, government has ever, listen to this, has ever forgiven me of my sin, given me a heart for Christ, has taught me how to be a better dad or a better husband. Only Christ does such things. So let our allegiance be to Him, and let us challenge and influence the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be that salt and to be that light. Joseph is the steward of God's earthly kingdom. Love all people. Can you love black people? Can you love white people? Can you love rich people? Can you love poor people? Can you love educated people? Can you love uneducated people? Can you love people who, man, are the perfect picture of everything that Hollywood screams would be perfect? Can you love people who have it all together like that, so it seems? And can you love the person who's born disfigured, who may only live 6 years? Maybe it is that they're a constant strain to their family or to the economy. Can you love all people? Because that is our charge as leaders and stewards of a king and a kingdom's message. We love all people. And we want to influence all people for God's glory. God is faithful and good. If you all believe that, say amen. If you want to see how deep this goes. So he's a steward of God's earthly kingdom. Look at verse 48. Watch how this just develops. Joseph is a steward of God's resources and provisions. And Joseph gathered up all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt. These are the 7 years of prosperity. These are the 7 years of plenty. These are the 7 years of what appears to be God's providential blessing upon the land of Egypt. And the crops are bearing fruit, and they are being tremendously fruitful. And Joseph is receiving all of these grains, and he's putting them up. He gathered up all the food. God used Joseph as a steward, and he was a steward of God's resources and provisions, particularly the resource of grain and food. He gathers it up. God uses Joseph as a steward of the resource of time and opportunity. He says, of these 7 years, he's not wasting time. He doesn't say, you know what, I don't know if we need 7 years worth or not. I'll just wait and see if 5 years won't be enough or 4 years. He's a real steward of time and opportunity. He's a resource of focus and attention. In verse 48b, listen, he gathered up all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt. Notice this. And he puts the food in the cities. He put it in every city, the food from the fields around it. So he has this tremendous focus and this tremendous plan. And God uses Joseph to be the steward or manager of focus and attention, of time and opportunity, of grain and food. And so he's positioned him in a culture that's not ready for him. And now he's positioning him for good. And Joseph's taking God at his word. He's preparing and doing what God showed him in the dream, that Pharaoh has certainly released him to do. And he's using his resources and the resources that God is providing for a godly response and ministry. My brothers and sisters, we are called to use our resources in that way. Whether that resource is time and energy, whether it's attention and focus, whether it is food or grain, or whether it is the job that the Lord has given us and blessed us with, we need to be great stewards of God's resources so that we can minister to others in an incredible, incredible way, right? So Joseph's a steward of God's resources. He's this godly steward in a secular culture, in a secular society. And then I want you to notice, lastly but not least, God uses Joseph as a steward of God's people and their well-being. I want you to listen to these verses and let this wonderful truth sink in. How deep is my influence, Pastor Randy? It's much deeper than what you know. The number of conversations that I have when someone passes, and then the family's just talking, I'm saying, tell me things you're going to miss. Tell me what you're going to remember most. And when we're behind a closed door and we're just talking, sometimes those are just overflowing with just positive things. I'm going to miss their laughter. I'm going to miss their generosity. I'm going to miss their compassion and their care. I'm going to miss their voice. I mean, people share all sorts of things. But every once in a while, people share things like this. You know what? It's easier for me to share what I'm not going to miss than what I am going to miss. I'm not going to miss how they were manipulated or how they bullied. Sometimes they'll say things like this, Pastor Randy, I wish I had wonderful thoughts to say, but the truth of the matter is this. My dad or my mom or my brother or my sister, my son or my daughter, they were really used to bring my life a lot of grief. And so we really try to pour scripture into them and talk to them about, you know what, you need to be able to give thanks to God in all things and all circumstances. And there's some good there, right, that maybe you're just not recognizing at this point. You say, why are you sharing that, Pastor? Because I want you to understand, your influence goes much, much further than what you have idea of. You're influencing children and grandchildren and neighbors and friends and peers. You're influencing that person that you go through their checkout line at Walmart. You like that lady and you go to her checkout line. You're influencing those people, whether you realize it or not. And listen to how deep God uses Joseph as his steward of God's people and their well-being. He says this, the 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end. All good things are going to come to an end sooner or later. Now listen to what he says. And the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was a famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt, listen to this tremendous blessing. In all the land of Egypt, there was bread. You should underline that, man. Highlight that in your scripture. There's bread in all the land of Egypt. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, what he says to you, do. So when the famine had spread over all the land, you should underline this next phrase, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, your influence being far greater than what you can even begin to imagine today. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain because the famine was severe over all the earth. In all the land of Egypt, get this picture, there's bread. And when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph, under God's appointment, he opens all the storehouses in obedience to God and his word. And then we see that all the Egyptians had food to eat. There's bread in the land. And then God uses Joseph to extend the life and welfare of not only the Egyptians, but the people of the Mesopotamian basin that were coming to Egypt at that time, because they knew that God had blessed Egypt with land, with food, with prosperity, and they had stored it up. Would you stand to your feet and just think and pray with me as we move toward closing? And think about this. God's put resources in your hands, and he wants you to use those resources. He wants you to be a tremendous steward of those, and he wants you to use those resources to influence and to affect others in a positive way. Do you know and realize right now that our state is overrun with foster children who have no place to go? They're in child care facilities doing the best that they can to get along. And I just wonder if they think about, in some terms or another, maybe not this way, they may not know this verse, but I wonder if they ever think, is there bread in the land? Is there anyone that will open not a storehouse but a house? Is there anyone who will use their attention and their focus to come and minister to me? You might all get together this afternoon and vote and say, Pastor, we're done with that kind of preaching. We want you out. We leave with too much burden and responsibility that's just not mine. But I serve the Lord first and foremost, so I really want y'all to hear this. God's blessed America with a lot of opportunity and wealth. And it is our responsibility, when the sojourner crosses our border because they see it's the land of opportunity, our job is to minister to them and love them and get them the gospel. It's to help them to see there's a better way than being illegal, and then to try to get them on that course and track. But our job is not to say, let America rise and all the other countries of the world go to hell. If we take that opinion, we just may wake up the country in hell. And it may be other countries who have welcomed the sojourner and the foreigner with the gospel of Jesus Christ that ministers to them. I'm challenging your political view, your agenda. I'm challenging what the rallying cries are right now on Fox and CNN and all these other places. Preacher, you're getting political. I'd say to you, I'm not political at all. I'm challenging you to be the Jesus people that God's called us to be. Fully understand that it's not as simple as I portrayed it. I'm not embracing for people just to openly break the law. But I am saying to you that we as believers, we have a different message than the two warring camps. And that camp is, let's do both and. Let's minister to people. Let's be used of God as tremendous stewards. Some of you don't know this, only a couple of you I've shared with. Levi, since last January, has been wrestling with a specific call of missions. And he said, I don't want you to share it, Dad, until I know for sure. And I'm really thankful because God's placed him in the context of biblical worldview his whole life to where he understands this is not a question of whether or not I'll be on mission. It's a question of where I'll be on mission. Y'all all okay? We're all on mission? Y'all good with that? So we're all on mission, and if that's the truth, our second son, our middle son, he's trying to distinguish where is that. And so he committed this past week to spend this next summer in China. And I'm really proud as a dad. But I want to make sure he's not daddy called or mama called or Calvary called, right? I want to make sure this is what the Lord is stirring in his heart. So he's talking about that last night with me on the phone and says, yeah, I just need to go and see what ministry on a foreign soil is like, Dad. I need to just go and be obedient. So he's going to a college town. He's going to take Mandarin classes for 8 weeks, him and three other union students, and he's going to be able to share, learn the language, but he's going to be able to share with those college students, and they have a plan there, and he's going to be working with some of our IMB personnel while he's over there. And I just find it really neat, right, how God is working in that particular way. Now listen to what I'm about to say. All of the influence and leadership that God has entrusted to you, he wants you to use that for his glory. Whether that's here, whether that's abroad, he wants you to use that, whether that's in a mission context, a church context, or whether that's in a secular vocation. That all is the same, y'all. What he wants us to do is share the gospel with people who do not have the gospel. If you understand that, say amen. Here's what I want to invite you to do today. God, would you show me the areas of influence that you've entrusted to me, this sacred trust? Will you show them to me? I want to be perfectly clear what those areas are. And then as God reveals that to you, you may be here sitting here right now knowing this is what God's made me a steward of. Then I want you to say, God, I want to steward this for your glory and honor. Whatever it is, marriages, children, vocations, whatever it is, I want to steward this for your glory. Then I want to encourage you today, if you're here and you would say, you know what, I've probably never taken this idea of leadership to heart like I need to, I would just encourage you and say, start today. Just start right now where you're at and allow the Lord to come along and not only prop you up, but to fill you and encourage you and just say, Lord, I really don't know what I don't know, but will you begin showing me that today and then use me for your honor and glory? You all have been used by the Lord in such incredible ways. This week, I got two calls from pastors and one call from a layman at a church, all wanting to know about pastors. We all need pastors. Calvary, y'all got any pastors? Do you know what's going on out there? Could you recommend somebody, someone calling and saying, do you know about this guy? Do you know about this guy? Can you help us out there? We have people who call and say, we're thinking about going on mission. How did y'all start that at your church? You all have been used of the Lord, but I want us to be used by the Lord for many, many years to come. If you believe that, say amen. Father, will you show us, God, just those areas that you have so entrusted to us. And then, God, let us look at our life, Lord, as it really, really is. It's here for a short time and then it vanisheth away. And in this short time, you're telling us, as the famine is so severe, it's coming. You're telling us to take this gospel treasure and to store it up and to send it out and to store it up in our hearts and then to send it out and to store it up and to send it out so people can hear and that they can have bread to live. So, Father, today I pray for the person out there in our community who's struggling with gender identity. God, I pray for the person who's out there and they're struggling with same-sex attraction. God, I pray for that person who's given themselves just a full-blown open sin. God, I pray for that young man and young woman who were so fearful they didn't know what to do with the unexpected pregnancy other than to get an abortion. I pray you'll heal hearts. God, I pray for kids who are in orphanages and children's homes, that God, you would grip our heart to open our homes to be able to share the gospel. God, I pray that we would entertain the sojourners, that group of Hispanics who were roofing that house this morning on my way to church. God, help me not to judge them and say, what are they doing working on a Sunday? But God, help me to know they don't know better. And God, how they need bread, how they need gospel, how they need Christ. Lord, I pray you would do a deep work in us. Have your way is my prayer. If you need to come and pray and just surrender yourself and the stewardship that God is giving you, if you just want to surrender that fresh and new to the Lord, would you do that as Belinda just continues to play? We won't tarry and stay here long, but maybe you need to come and just kneel and say, God, work this in me. Help me to use my influence for your honor and for your glory.